Blog Talk Radio.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Tired of stretching out your paycheck to the last penny? Learn how to think like a millionaire, live within your means, and find true financial independence with Heather Wagenhals, Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Tune in to the midweek update for all the tips and tricks you'll need to manage your money. Here's your host, Heather Wagenhals.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. You are listening to the midweek update on Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And for this beautiful Wednesday, April 7th, 2010, we are broadcasting live from the HQ Real Estate and Investment Offices right here in Scottsdale, Arizona. And this Wednesday and every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we broadcast the midweek update on Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio and give you 30 minutes dedicated to the financial tools you need to get through the week. Now, we also have our famous Saturday show at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time every Saturday, where you get 2 hours of financial tools, tips, tricks, and information to help you create financial independence for you and your family. And as always, we now have our millionaire nuts and bolts from Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio on Tuesday mornings at 6:30 a.m., 15 minutes, to get you starting your day the millionaire way. I'm so excited about this week because this is Take Action, Make Assessment. So this week's key is all about, okay, last week we figured out we don't know what we need to know, or what we know is wrong, or we don't know anything at all about money. And now that we've accepted that's our current state, now we can move to correct it by taking action. And the first thing we're going to do is assess our financial mess. And we're going to do that in a very specific way, which we'll talk about on Saturday, because the value is in the structure of how we assess things. So many people say, okay, starting tomorrow, I'm going on a budget. Well, we don't budget here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation, number one. So already we're doing things just a little bit different. But I'm going to show you a very organic way to make an assessment of what's truly going on in your life versus just trying to make an assumption about what you think is going on in your life without any facts to substantiate those claims. That's where people go wrong, is they don't truly understand what's going on in their lives before they make moves to correct them. They just make changes, and then when they don't work, they fall off the wagon, they figure, oh, well, I'm never going to be good at managing my money. But that's not the case. Here at the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program, we are going to show you how specifically you can create financial independence and harmony in your life and the lives of those around you, in your family and friends and coworkers. Everybody will notice. So today's episode of the Midweek Update is going to focus on foreclosures today. But first, I also want to tell you another thing about Saturday's show. In addition to our key segment, we also have Herb Kay, who will be joining us for our Investor's Edge segment. Herb is a self-made millionaire and nationally recognized financial and business advisor. He has made numerous television appearances, Bloomberg, Fox, CNBC, and he has not to hold that against him, but by making his appearance here on our show, we'll be able to kind of right that wrong, hopefully. In 2000, he's written a bunch of books, and I love this title. Okay, are you ready? He's the author of How to Get Filthy, Stinking Rich and Still Have Time for Great Sex. Isn't that great? So not only is it about building wealth, but it's about creating balance in your life. So I'm stoked about him coming on the show because it'll be interesting to talk about him and his book, where he came up with that incredible title. So tune in. He has an interesting perspective on what's going on in the marketplace, and he says the worst is not behind us. It's still ahead. So you'll want to know what he has to say and what you can do to prepare yourself for his upcoming doom and gloom report. But first, We have to get through today's broadcast. And today we're going to talk about foreclosures. Now, foreclosures are not going away anytime soon. The rate of strategic defaults on foreclosures, which means a strategic default, is when you can make your mortgage payment, your job is solid, but because your equity is underwater, you choose to walk away. That's a strategic default. And now, strategic defaults are outpacing defaults because of unemployment, underemployment, or financial hardship of some sort. So people are walking away by the droves. I told you this back in November and December when we started getting all these funky sign calls about people that currently owned a home but just wanted to walk away, weren't interested in short selling, none of that stuff. They just wanted to walk away. And I've also shared with you that you need to pay attention to what's going on in your state legislature, because there is legislation pending that can materially change how foreclosures work and what rights lenders have. Now, here in the state of Arizona, for residential real estate, duplex or less, 2.5 acres or less, if it's your primary residence, it's a non-recourse state. However, mortgage lenders are taking such a big ass-whooping on this that they're becoming creative. And they're saying, okay, that's fine if it's your first loan and it's your purchase money loan. But just think about this. If you've been in your home for any period of time and you're thinking about walking away, and you have either A, refinanced, or you've taken a second mortgage out for cash to do whatever with, vacation, pool, blow it on just stuff that you shouldn't be spending money on, those mortgages may have recourse. So you foreclose, you walk away, guess what? They're going to sue you for that amount. That's what's pending in our legislatures all across this great land. Okay, so if you think you're being crafty, you probably should think again and reconsider maybe short sale or a bankruptcy to stop the foreclosure process. Because if this legislation is passing in your hometown, it's going to change the face and materially alter your financial position for the rest of your life. Because when you get a judgment against you, they can levy any kind of property to collect it. They can force you to sell assets. They can levy your property, any other property you have. When someone wins in court a judgment against you, they can levy all of your property and tie it up. But the financial ramifications are this. A $100,000 mortgage you pay in measured payments over an extended long-term period of time, 20 years, 30 years. There's some 40-year mortgages out there now. I can't believe it, with those long of amortization schedules. If you have a judgment against you for $100,000, you don't get to spread that over 30 years with interest. No, that $100,000 is due like today. And I don't take like cashier. I only take cashier's checks is probably what they're going to say. So if you're a little shy this week of $100,000, like I can imagine most folks are, that's not tied up in a retirement portfolio, you're going to have a tough time of things if this legislation passes. So you need to pay attention to what's going on in your state legislature. It doesn't matter what Obama does, okay? All politics are local. Where you live, you are restricted by homeowners associations, city ordinances, zoning, local law. Forget about what's going on in Washington for a moment. Not that it doesn't matter, but on a day-to-day basis, those aren't the laws you live by. And if you are considering strategic default versus a short sale, or versus bankruptcy or another alternative resolution process, like doing a recast of your mortgage, a loan modification, if you will, you live by the local laws in your city, and you've got to pay attention to what's going on and become active as a citizen. This is one of the things that I always tell people when, you know, presidential elections or any elections come along. You know, I always say, so, who are you voting for? Just topic of conversation. Or, did you vote today? So it's non-controversial, not who did you vote for, because some people find that a very private thing. But did you vote? And when they say no, by not voting is voting. And when people start griping and complaining about their situation legally, how they exist, how they have to live, and I say, oh, well, did you vote? And they say no. You have no right to complain if you are not going to voice your opinion and be heard and make sure that your legislature knows what you're thinking. Otherwise, they make assumptions of what you're thinking. And because nobody has really truly spoken up about this health care, that's why all of our politicians have went rampant and we have what we have today. Because nobody bothered to speak up and really say their mind. The couple people that did are the ones that got listened to, just so you know. The couple that did got listened to. So when you don't vote, you're voting for whatever goes on. Right, wrong, or indifferent. So you can legislate and be an active part of that process, or you can be legislated upon and just suffer the consequences of others' choices and others' influences. So just my little side note about get involved locally, politically. You don't have to run for president to make a difference in your life and in the lives of others. It can just be part of being on your homeowners association board. It can start there. You could just be an assemblyman in your political district. But you've got to be heard because things are going nuts. So how would you like to know about the safest way to buy foreclosures? Interest rates are still extremely low, and the fast appreciation that's been happening with some of these foreclosures have been luring bargain hunters toward those foreclosure properties. You may pay less than market value, but not less, according to this research, and it can be daunting. Bankrate.com writes, while with interest rates at record lows and the stock market looking too perilous for small investors, many people are putting their money in an asset they understand, like real estate. One of the best places to invest in foreclosures and bargains is currently residential real estate. The current market conditions make it a perfect time for a small investor to purchase one or more foreclosure properties for their private residence, a rental, or a resale unit. During economic downturns, more upscale homes go into foreclosure, so the notion that foreclosure homes are only available in crime-ridden areas is not entirely accurate. Beachfront homes in affluent areas are also part of the foreclosure mix. You would be surprised. I just saw $1.5 million property go up on the chopping block. So there are some luxury properties too. People are financially distressed at every economic level. Make no mistake. Anyone considering buying a foreclosure should forget about paying pennies on the dollar, though. Those deals are already gone. You can buy foreclosures as cheap as 30 or 40% below the market, but most foreclosures only sell at 5% below the market, says John T. Reed, editor of Real Estate Investors Monthly. It's a newsletter based in Alamo, California, and he says, yet the savings may be twofold if the property is purchased from the lender who holds the mortgage that's in default. The lender may be willing to waive some closing costs and may even offer a break on the interest rate or the down payment. It does, though, require an investment of time. If you are new to the foreclosure markets, you must learn to navigate the process. Todd Beitler, owner of Real Estate Library in Boca Raton, Florida, says that the time and effort can translate into savings. If somebody spends 10 hours a week for 5 weeks to do research, it's worth it. But for most consumers, however, the foreclosure process can prove daunting. Good buys are available, but they require research, preparation, patience, and persistence. The foreclosure process starts when a property owner falls behind on mortgage payments. Many owners of homes that go into foreclosure have been struggling financially for almost a year before they give up, which usually means that the house has not received needed repairs or general maintenance either. This may include everything from just simple missing light bulbs to massive roof leaks, tree trims in front yards, broken appliances and windows, dirty carpets, floors, and walls are found even in the most affluent area of foreclosures. This can be a boon or a boondoggle for the buyer. Houses in poor condition may fetch bargain prices, but you have to add in the cost of repairs. That can lower what your true savings is. So the first rule of real estate is location, 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 and this applies in these situations. If there is trash in every room of the house, but the foreclosure is in a good area with high property resale values, just grab a clothespin, hold your nose, and walk through the entire house and consider making a very low offer. Reading assignments. When a lender decides to foreclose on a property, a notice of default or a LIS pendants is filed against the property depending on the state. It's a public record document, and for buyers, it's the first step in locating a property in foreclosure. A buyer looking for foreclosures can also buy magazines and newsletters that list properties in default. Once a home has been located, you can search the public records, look for liens on the property, since they can also drive up the purchase prices they will need to be paid. Liens typically are placed on a house for unpaid property taxes, but there are other types of liens as well. Be aware of mechanics liens for work that was done on the property and the owner in good faith did not pay them. Also check assessed values and sale prices of what's going on in neighboring properties, not what they're listing them for, but what they're actually selling them for, because those numbers can be dramatically different. You also want to research local state foreclosure laws since they're different. Florida, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania require the lender to sue the borrower and get a court order for the sale of the property. It's called judicial foreclosure. Other states, including California and Texas, as well as Arizona, follow non-judicial foreclosure process, which doesn't require a lawsuit. Simply, you post a notice of default, and in 30 days, or I'm sorry, you post the notice of default, and then 90 days from that date is when it goes up for auction. So it doesn't require a lawsuit. Often the banks will hire a real estate agent to sell the foreclosed homes in a traditional manner, but sometimes the buyers can succeed by pestering bank loan officers with low offers. Banks might try lowballing the lender's real estate-owned property officer shortly before the non-performing assets have to be reported to supervisors. So you might be able to, right after the foreclosure sale, still get a steal of the deal. The bank's taking a hit on it already. We set aside all of these monies in TARP to make these lenders whole, so it doesn't matter if they take an ass-whipping. The government's going to give them the money back. So you kind of have a great leg to negotiate with. The safest deals, they say, although I don't know how safe any real estate or other type of investment can ever be determined, because safety is a relative term. People say, is this a safe neighborhood? And I can say only, well, it depends on your definition of safe, because your definition of safe and mine may be radically different. And you should probably check out what the local crime statistics are and talk to neighbors and find out. Because as real estate professionals, we're not allowed to disclose the safety or security of a neighborhood because it's so subjective. So bank-owned properties offer the safest deal for inexperienced foreclosure buyers because there's no risk, no taxes, no liens, and no tenants to evict. A lender that's eager to sell might be willing to offer attractive terms, so they may give you another mortgage on this property instead of having to go out and find alternative financing somewhere else. A broker at Jetstream Mortgage in Oakland, California, past president of the California Association of Mortgage Brokers, George Tribble, says that the lender might offer to finance the property at a below market rate with a lower than usual down payment because the bank's already done the appraisal, they already know what it's worth, and they may not have to pay appraisal fees and all kinds of other stuff. Usually they'll cover your title insurance, which also takes back a lot of the risk accompanied buying other foreclosure homes. Again, you'll always want to get an inspection to to make sure what's working and what's not, because an appraisal only tells you value. It doesn't tell you that the sink isn't working and somebody poured cement down the toilet just to be an asshole on their way out the door. Hidden foreclosures are something that you may want to consider. Not all foreclosures are previously owned homes. Some foreclosures are from builders. They're not as easy to identify and rarely appear in national lists, but with some of these mid-scale and upscale home builders, at the end of their construction loan periods without finding buyers, the price goes down, the price goes down. And in these cases, the banks that issued the construction loan will take possession of the home and then liquidate them. So it's not like a foreclosure because they have a blanket loan on the entire subdivision. So you probably won't ever hear about those. More daring investors can find other points in the process to buy the home, like just before foreclosure, when you find that the homeowner's gone into default and they don't want to lose all their equity. They accept a portion of the difference between the equity and the home's market value. Pre-foreclosure buys offer bargains but demand persistence. With so many properties underwater, it's unlikely that you'll uncover some of those situations. But if you do, scoop it up. Somebody might have been servicing their debt for 20 years, and they can't pay off that last $10,000 of their mortgage for some reason, and the bank won't work with them because some banks make no sense with what they're doing. There's also HUD auctions, and there's a lot of great places to find these. There's also private company auctions, too, where they go into an area and they sell, you know, 300 or 400 homes in an auction, and what it goes for, it goes for. They have deals with certain lenders, and they go out there and they knock them out. I've been to some of those. They're pretty exciting. It's very exciting when you bid on and get a property, and it's terribly disappointing when you think you have it, and then all of a sudden they're like, going twice, and then somebody else outbids you, and you know that there's no way you'll recover that value if you're a smart investor, and you have to let it go. But the cost of getting started is you got to have some good credit, and many banks will loan the full price of a foreclosure because, you know, usually that they go under market value. And sometimes the banks will work with you if you're an investor too. So if you're buying this and planning on using it as a rental, you might only have to put 10% down. Versus if you were buying an investment property, you would have to put 20% or more down for residential or multifamily or commercial. You'll have to put at least 20 or 25% down, maybe more. So that's a smoking deal to go buy from those lenders. Just remember that you need to seek the advice of a qualified licensed contractor. Before you start the foreclosure process, I would interview a bunch of them, not after, because you would hate to have to buy Shelley Long and Tom Hanks' money pit like I did on my first home. So you want to meet with and interview a bunch of contractors and get a bunch of different opinions about what they think of as far as home remodeling is concerned and buying foreclosures and what their experience is. And when you go looking at the properties with real estate professionals, or if you're just finding them on lists and there's open houses, make sure that you have your contractor with you and take notes on what he says for every property. And that way you can articulately compare apples to apples, because, you know, one foreclosure might be $30,000, but you're going to sink another $30,000 into fixing it up, versus the one that's $65,000, but all you have to do is put paint and carpet. So you want to make sure you're able to compare apples to apples. Another headline I found was, don't let foreclosure homes ruin your neighborhood. Take action to protect your neighborhood and your own home's value. From Bridget Yule of Investopedia, she writes, vacant or foreclosed homes can diminish an area's quality. And as they deteriorate from neglect, these homes also become eyesores that drag down the property value of other homes in the neighborhood. Luckily, though, she says, you don't have to sit back and watch the foreclosed home fall apart. You can take actions to protect your neighborhood and your property value. In 2007, the crisis provides some important clues as to how your neighborhood could be affected by empty homes. Many properties sat empty for more than a year because of the foreclosure process was delayed. Simply, banks were overwhelmed by the number of troubled homeowners, and some properties were bought by investors with the intention of flipping them for the profit, meaning some of these residences were already vacant to begin with, and they still have been remaining vacant because the flipper didn't know what he was doing and couldn't unload the property. So no longer a piggy bank. Nearly half of the home sales in foreclosure or short sales were sold at a discount, according to the Center for Responsible Lending. It is estimated that 69.5 million homes near foreclosure saw a price drop of $7,200 on average. This led to a $502 billion with a B, as in boy, or bravo, $500 billion total decline in property values. The nonprofit research and policy organization has also predicted that 91.5 million nearby homes would be affected within the following 4 years, causing the tax base to become smaller. Low home values mean less equity. People depending on the value of their home to achieve investment goals such as retirement or kids' college education have seen these goals delayed or evaporate. What's happening is crime is becoming a major concern with these vacant homes. Unkempt lawns, dilapidated roofs advertise to thieves that the home is empty. Many of these opportunists will steal copper pipes, copper wiring, appliances, and fixtures. A vacant home becomes a magnet for vandalism, drug dealers, prostitution, and violent crimes. Poor communities are especially hard hit because homeowners there have fewer resources to make improvements compared to residents of more affluent areas. The vacant homes also lead to increased municipal costs because of the need for more services such as police, fire, and code enforcement. Funding these services can take away from other property tax revenue streams. What can you do, though, is the key question. You can take measures to stabilize your neighborhood before your home loses value. Organize or host foreclosure prevention workshops. Request a community-based organization to come into your neighborhood and hold a meeting. Contact local lenders, loan servicers, and housing counselors to find out whether they are able to hold a workshop at your home or a local nearby community center. The workshops could give your quietly struggling neighbors the assistance they need but are afraid to ask for. When you notice that a property is going astray, such as obvious damage to areas or grass height not meeting the appropriate community standards, locate the owners of the property so they can immediately handle the situation and reduce the financial loss. Call a real estate agent who is listing the property if the home is up for sale and find out who owns that home. Contact the Homeowners Association, community managers, or local housing and inspections department and call for a citation. Well, an inspection, and then if it doesn't meet zoning or HOA code, then they will be fined. You can also organize a neighborhood watch, and then it's a great way to prevent crime and vandalism. Try to learn who's moving in and who's moving out of the neighborhood so you know which homes are at risk. You can also identify block captains to monitor these homes until the situation is resolved. And I have a convenient checklist, if you're interested, that all you have to do is sign up for our weekly electronic magazine, and I will send you one of these puppies on this great checklist of what you can do to pay attention to and help identify areas of concern in your neighborhood so you can move to get them corrected quickly. So thank you so much for joining us. I can't believe we're out of time. So if you're thinking about foreclosures, do your homework. It's the message in both of these. Spend time in your process, as well as doing your homework and due diligence in your prospective neighborhood of residence or investment. I'm so excited again. I got Herb K coming on for the Investor's Edge this Saturday, as well as our second key in the Keys to Riches, Take Action, Make Assessment, as well as all of our other fabulous money features. We've got our Millionaire Minute, we got News by the Numbers, and more Minutes on Your Money coming up on Saturday. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Midweek Update. Hopefully you have gleaned some new information about foreclosures and the foreclosure process. And we look forward to spending time with you again on Saturday. If you hadn't had a chance to listen to yesterday's Millionaire Nuts and Bolts, remember, just go to our show page or our website at www.wealth.com or surf over to iTunes and search for us, and you can listen later if you can't listen live. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Heather Wagenhals. You've been listening to Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth Radio. This has been the Midweek Update. Thanks so much for joining us, and here's to your financial independence.
I've had it up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America's the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American and damn proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.